I want to speak today about a question that the Lord Jesus Christ once asked his disciples while he was here on the earth. And he asked them this question. He said, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" And that's what I would like to speak about today. If you look in the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, we'll read a short scripture reading beginning with verse 22 to begin this. Certainly ask for your prayers. Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 22. "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him." And I'm going to stop reading there with verse 25. I want to make a few points here before we go any further. Jesus here took care of this situation like he was prone to do, like he did so many times. He took care of this situation that nobody else could take care of. But he, it seems, was not exactly thrilled with the attitude of his disciples. And I want for us all today, you know, we can look at this collectively, but I think that all of us today as God's people, we should think about those times when we are in certain situations and under certain circumstances where we find ourselves perhaps even asking ourselves the question, where's my faith? Where's my faith? Or perhaps even though Jesus is not walking with us in the body on the earth anymore, he is still with us. And perhaps those times when he looks at me and he looks at you, and he asks that question about us, where's their faith? Where is their faith? And I believe there's something that we can see in this, in the question that he asked them. You know, it wouldn't make very much sense, and we could use anything as an example, but it wouldn't make very much sense for me to ask you, where's your car? Unless I expected that you had one. Jesus asked them, where's your faith? And I believe that we can see the implication there, that that's something that he expected them to have. He expected them to have faith. Now, what they did have was they were anxious. They were fretful. They were worried. They thought the worst. They thought, we're just going to perish. I would say that Jesus when he fell asleep, and of course we read in the Bible about how active that he was in his ministry and how that he did so many things. And I would say, given the fact that when they launched to the other side of the lake on this ship, the fact that Jesus fell asleep, he needed it. He was exhausted. And yet they became so fearful over the storm that arose that they came to him and they woke him. And they said, Master, we're going to perish. So the Lord arose and he took care of the situation. The Bible tells us here that he rebuked the wind and he rebuked the wind and the raging water, and they ceased. And there was a calm. But as I said a moment ago, he didn't seem to be very happy with his disciples about their attitude and about the way that they were when they came and woke him. Because he said to them, "Where's your faith? Where's your faith?" And they saw a good display here of what the Lord was able to do. And they wondered, and it says they were afraid, and they said, "What manner of man is this? Why, this man can even give a command to the wind and water, and they will obey him." You know, without faith, we never see a whole lot from the Lord, do we? Now, the Bible tells us in the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, the Bible there tells us of a time that Jesus had returned to his the city where he grew up there to Nazareth. And that's where he made the statement because of the way that they received him. They just looked at him as being no one more than the carpenter's son. They said, is not this the carpenter's son? And aren't his mother and his siblings here with us? And they just looked at him as being that. And the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, that he did not many mighty works there among them because of their unbelief. Now, the Bible doesn't say that he did not do any. And we see here in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, it seems here that despite their weakness, that the Lord did take care of this situation. But if we really want to see an ongoing display of God's power and victory in our lives, it's going to come through faith. Faith. Because, again, remember that Jesus, the Bible tells us that he just didn't do much there in Nazareth. He did not do nearly what he would have done because of their lack of faith, because of their unbelief. Now, I do want to look at the faith chapter. I do want to look at some things that's found in the 11th chapter of Hebrews and refresh our minds concerning these statements that the Hebrew writer made concerning faith. He said that it is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, the word substance there means confidence or assurance. It is the confidence that we have. It is the assurance that we have of things that we hope for. And he goes on and says, it is the evidence or the proving of things not seen. You know, through faith, we can believe in the invisible. Through faith, we can believe in things that we have not seen. How many of us have seen Jesus? I mean, none of us lived in the time when he was here on the earth. None of us have seen him, but I've seen him through the eye of faith, and I know that he's real, and I know that he lives, and I know that he saved me, and I know that he's coming for us one day. And so we, I believe it was Abraham perhaps, that endured, the Bible says, by seeing him who is invisible. And so through faith we can see things that otherwise cannot be seen. It's the proving to us of things not seen. And then the Bible tells us that by it, that being by faith, that the elders obtained a good report. Well, what happens without it? The Bible says it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so we can see the positive and we can see the negative there. We can see that by faith that we can obtain a good report. We can see that without it, that we just simply cannot be pleasing to the Lord. And so faith is something that is very, very important. And then this 11th chapter of Hebrews gives us some great examples of things that people accomplished by placing their faith in God. I want you to think about this for a moment. When we consider the question among us about where is your faith, I want you to think about this, the time in your lives when you have been able to really trust in the Lord, when you have been able to really turn it over to God, when you've been able in various situations to just say, I'm going to put this in the Lord's hands. I'm going to just give him the battle and turn it over to God. When you have done that, has he disappointed? Or has he delivered? He delivers. God comes through, doesn't he? God's never done one thing to disappoint me. Not one thing. Boy, I've disappointed him many, many times, but he's never done one thing to disappoint me. And writer here even said, through faith, Do you believe in the creation of the world coming about by the hands of God? Do you believe that God is the creator of all this? The Hebrew writer said, through faith, we understand. I wasn't there when God made the world, were you? No. But he said, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and that the things which are seen were made of things which do not appear. You know what the truest meaning of creation is? It is to make something with no pre-existing materials. Creation, to make something out of nothing. And through faith, we understand that God made the world that way, that he could make things out of nothing, just the way that he brought light upon the face of the darkness by doing nothing more than speaking. And through the authority and the power of his voice, when he said, let there be light, there was light through faith. We can understand that type of thing, but you'll never understand that through human reasoning. It's driving the scientists crazy, isn't it? You'll never figure that out through carnal reasoning. So some things can only come about by faith. It tells us that faith, or by faith rather, Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And so the scriptures teach us that Noah was being told by God that he was going to do something that had not yet been seen. Nobody had witnessed that. God was going to bring rain, and he was going to bring a flood upon the world, and he told Noah that he was going to perform something because of man's wickedness that had not been seen, and Noah believed him. He believed him. He believed that God would do what he said he would do. He believed him to the point that he began to build the ark. And when the allotted time came, when the time expired, that God had extended his mercy after that 120 years, he brought the flood upon the world just like he said that he would. You know, I don't doubt for a moment that the thought of the Lord coming back one day and raining fire and brimstone down upon this sinful world and destroying this world and putting it away forever is hard to grasp in the carnal minds of sinful people. But it'll happen. It'll come. It'll come just like the flood did. Abraham. God moved upon Abraham and called him to go out for to a land to receive an inheritance. And he didn't even know where he was going. But the Bible tells us that by faith he went. You see, that's what happens, and that's what faith really is. And I'm going to tell you that many people in the world today have this mixed up. And there are many people in the world today that are deceived in their own soul because they don't realize what true faith really is. True faith is more than just believing the fact about something. It's trusting. Trusting. You can believe, anybody could believe in their mind that Jesus was the Son of God. They could believe in their mind that he was born of a virgin, that he died on the cross, that he rose from the grave. But listen, believing those facts in their mind don't mean they've trusted in their heart, does it? Trusting. And it's the same thing for us, even after that we are saved. You know, I'm confident that I could go around this room here today among all of us that have been saved, and I could ask the question, do you believe that the Lord could really rebuke the wind and make it lay down calm at his feet? Do you believe the Lord could do this? Do you believe the Lord could do that? And certainly we would acknowledge that, but trusting him in that situation to do that, that's what faith really is. And so, wonderful things
wonderful things have been seen throughout time by people trusting in the Lord, putting their faith in the Lord. I want to share a few more examples. Mark chapter 5. There we have Mark's account of the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible tells us she had just tried everything. You know, I've heard people relate their salvation experience that way. I've heard people say, I had just tried everything that I could think of to do, and nothing was working. And then when I just laid that all aside, when I gave all that up and just came to Jesus, then I got saved. Well, this woman had tried everything, it seems, to be free from this burden that she had. She had just tried everything to be healed from her plague. And she had spent all of her money. She had spent all of her living on many physicians. And not only was she not getting better, but the Bible says that she just continued to grow worse. And she believed something. She believed that if she could just come to Jesus, if she could just bring her cares to the Lord Jesus, and she believed that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, that she could be made whole. I love what God does when we really trust in him. I'm telling you, listen, no matter what the situation is here today, if you're lost and without the Lord, or if you've got something in your life, if you're saved here today and you've got something in your life that needs to be taken care of, I'm telling you, if you will reach out in faith and touch the Lord Jesus, he'll take care of it. Amen. This woman believed that, and she put it to the test. She went there, didn't let anything discourage her. Boy, there was people all around Jesus. And she made her way through the crowd, and she reached out, and she touched the hem of his garment. And this is what happened. Mark chapter 5, verse 34 says, "And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." After 12 years and spending all of her money and going to all the physicians, after all that time, just that simple trust in the Lord is all that it took for her to be made whole and to be cured of her illness. We have an account in the second chapter of Mark of the man sick of the palsy. Thank God he had friends that loved him. Four of them willing to pick him up and carry him. Listen, I want to say this to us as God's people. We say this and we hear this said all the time. We tell those who are lost that the Lord is going to have to hear their prayer, that it's going to be their prayer of repentance, that it's going to be their faith, that it's going to be their prayer that he's going to hear to save them. And you know, I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. It's a personal thing between them and the Lord. But I'll tell you what, church, I do believe that our prayers can help get them to Jesus. We can help get them there. That's what these men did. They, four of them carried him. They carried him to Jesus. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, their faith, he said unto that man that was sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Thinking about, I heard Brother Chuck preach this or teach this morning. Just thinking about the lesson that he taught and what he said about Jesus saying to Nathanael in amazement, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile." The Israelites had some bad characteristics about them. And you know what? We do too. They could see great things wrought by the power of God, and then turn right around and despair when the next mountain came up before them. And we can do that too, can't we? We have that tendency. We can see God do great works. We can see God deliver. We can see Him do wonderful things before us. And then the very next trial that we face, we're like, the Israelites were at the Red Sea. Oh my goodness, now what? We're going to die here. And we can, it seems our faith can become weak so quickly. But I'm telling you, if we trust in the Lord, I want you to complete this. We're going to do fill in the blank here for a moment before I quit. Without anybody turning there. Mark chapter 9, verse 23, in a portion of that verse, Jesus said this, "Blank things are possible to him that believeth." Do you think Jesus said some things, a few things, or do you think he said all things? All things are possible to him that believeth. You know, when we put our trust in the Lord, you've heard the old saying, the sky's the limit. When we put our trust in the Lord, the sky's not the limit. Because the Bible says He can do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. The Hebrew letter in the 11th chapter of Hebrews goes on and just speaks of time after time. Read that chapter again. Time after time of things that people witnessed when they trusted in the Lord. Now, I believe that we're still seeing it. I believe we're still seeing miracles today. I do. But they only come about when we put our faith in the Lord and trust Him. Trust Him to deliver. There are so many other examples that I could use, so many I had in mind, but that's my message today. We will see great things when we trust Jesus. Great things. And, you know, listen, once a person has been saved, that really shouldn't be hard for us to do. Because doesn't it still, no matter how many years ago it's been, doesn't it still amaze you today what the Lord did in your heart when He saved you? I mean, doesn't that just seem so fresh still before you today? We shouldn't have any problem trusting in the Lord because we know what He is able to do. Let's have a song, Brother Wayne. Remember this. Amen.
Number 162, 162. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trust and confide in His great love. From all harm safe in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Tempest may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life. I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. Living by faith in Jesus above, trust and confide in His great love. From all harm safe in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond the blessed heavenly shore. Living by faith in Jesus above, trust and confide in His great love. From all harm safe in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm.